28 degrees, huh? And we're going to be flirting with 40 degrees today. Wahoo! After the early part of the week we suffered through, that's pretty sweet music, isn't it? Great deal. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you here on the, appropriately named Stan Turner Show. Thank you very much for your company and your nice messages and encouraging words. We always try to bring you something of interest here, make it entertaining along the way, and we'd love to have you along for the ride. Thank you so much. On the other side of the double pane glass here, we see our friend Kyle, all ready to rock and roll, as it were. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing very well.
Are you? Yeah, you look good. Yep, it's kind of quiet up here on Saturday sometimes, isn't it, huh?
A little bit.
Not too much going on, except when we hit the airwaves, by golly. No, there's a full day of programming right here on Club 1220 KLBB, and we hope you stick around for the whole shooting match today. Well, folks, surprise! Our scheduled guests for the first half hour here are not able to be with us. They were forced into a last-minute cancellation because of a sudden health problem with one of them. Nothing life-threatening, we're happy to say. Sounds like all will be well. They are the director and some cast members of God Girl. It's a new play opening tonight, a world premiere, as a matter of fact, at History Theater in St. Paul. It's a story based on the actual experiences of a Minnesota woman who ran into serious barriers some 30 years ago as she and other females entered seminary to become Presbyterian ministers. She says it was like hitting a stained glass ceiling. Well, we hope to have director Ron Peluso and cast members of God Girl on this program on some Saturday soon. At the bottom of the hour today, we're going to talk about what's new between the covers, book covers, that is. Kathleen Eddy, a Valley bookseller in Stillwater, joins me in studio, and she'll tell us what's up, what's hot among book buyers these days. Lots of great stories out there, yep, and it's not too soon to start compiling your spring and your summer reading lists, yep. Book Lady Supreme, Kathleen Eddy, about 12:30 this afternoon. And talk about books, wow, what a bombshell this week. In a stunning revelation, it turns out that the American literary classic To Kill a Mockingbird was not the only novel Harper Lee wrote, as we have long and wrongly thought. If you've heard only, bits and pieces this week, we'd like to fill you in with some details of this astounding development of a second Harper Lee book. Who knew? Very few, apparently. I will quote from a story by Alexandra Alter in the New York Times this week. Then, if time allows, a piece in the Washington Post by Ron Charles. First, part of the New York Times account. For more than a half century, To Kill a Mockingbird has stood apart as a singular American literary masterpiece, a perennial bestseller that has provoked countless classroom discussions about racial and social injustice. It brought instant and overwhelming fame to its enigmatic author, Harper Lee, who soon retreated from the spotlight to her native Monroeville, Alabama. She never published another book, leaving her millions of fans yearning for more. Well, now, at age 88, Ms. Lee has revealed that she wrote another novel after all, a sequel of sorts to To Kill a Mockingbird, featuring an aging Atticus Finch and his now grown daughter, Scout. On Tuesday, this past Tuesday, Ms. Lee's publisher announced its plans to release that novel, recently rediscovered, which Ms. Lee completed in the middle 1950s, get this, before she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. The 304-page book, it's called Go Set a Watchman, takes place 20 years later in the same fictional town, Macomb, Alabama, and unfolds as Jean Louise Finch, or Scout, the feisty child heroine of To Kill a Mockingbird, returns to visit her father. Now, the novel, which is scheduled for release this coming July, tackles the racial tensions brewing in the South in the 1950s and delves into the complex relationship between father and daughter. Although written first, Go Set a Watchman is a continuation of the same story with overlapping themes and characters. But Ms. Lee abandoned the manuscript after her editor, who was captivated by the flashbacks to Scout's childhood, told Lee to write a a new book from the young heroine's perspective and to set it during her childhood. I was a first-time writer, so I did as I was told, Miss Lee said in a statement released by her publisher. That story became To Kill a Mockingbird, a classic that was adapted into a 1962 film and has sold more than 40 million copies globally since it was published in 1960. It continues to sell more than a million copies a year and has been translated into more than 40 languages. The novel takes place during the Depression as the young scout and her family are swept up in the trial of a black man who is accused of raping a white woman. Scout's father, played by Gregory Peck in the film adaptation, represents the accused man at trial. The film score by Elmer Bernstein is nothing short of absolute beauty. Here it is by Elmer Bernstein, the theme from To Kill a Mockingbird. Despite pleas and prodding from readers and the literary establishment, Harper Lee never published again. Ms. Lee said that she had thought the draft of Go Set a Watchman had been lost or destroyed. Then last fall, Tanya Carter, her friend and lawyer, discovered the manuscript in a secure place where Ms. Lee keeps her archives, attached to an original typed manuscript of To Kill a Mockingbird. According to Ms. Lee's publisher, Ms. Carter did not understand what she had stumbled on at first until she realized that the passengers were not from Ms. Lee's first and only novel. Harper Lee was not immediately sold on the idea of releasing it, but was persuaded after a handful of people read it and reassured her it was worth publishing. After much thought and hesitation, I shared it with a handful of people I trust and was pleased to hear that they considered it worthy of publication, Harper Lee said. Well, scholars have long been aware that Harper Lee wrote an earlier manuscript, but many thought it was an early version of To Kill a Mockingbird, not a separate story that unfolds 20 years later. Now, the book's publisher, Harper, plans to print 2 million copies of the new book and release it on July 14th this year. The deal was negotiated by Michael Morrison, who is president and publisher of HarperCollins U.S. I, along with millions of others around the world, always wish that Harper Lee had written another book, Mr. Morrison said in a statement, and what a brilliant book this is, quote unquote. Ms. Lee has shied away from public attention for decades, but she is fiercely protective of her image and legacy. She's been involved in a handful of lawsuits in recent years in what has appeared to be an effort to protect her literary legacy and image. Ms. Lee has occasionally addressed the question of why she never published another book after To Kill a Mockingbird. She said she found the publicity surrounding that book overwhelming and that she had said all that she had to say in that single work. Mr. Nirenberg, Ms. Lee's agent for international rights, said that she had discussed her reservations about the new book with him. She was a bit diffident at first and said, "Is this really worth publishing right now?" But during a recent visit with her in Monroeville, she also seemed feisty, he said, and in good spirits. Mr. Nirenberg said that she had taken issue with his description of the new book as a sequel. He recalled, she said, "This is not a sequel. This is the parent to Mockingbird. And now just a brief bit from the Washington Post story on the Harper Lee story here. Even as the literary world tries to adjust to the idea of a second novel from the intensely private Lee, Andrew Nirenberg claims that Lee and her agent in 1950 once considered a trilogy. He's quoted in The Guardian as saying they discussed publishing Mockingbird first, Watchmen last, and a shorter connecting novel between the two. It would appear she never wrote or finished the middle novel, but it is clear that Lippincott was planning on publishing Watchmen. Harper Lee biographer, this gets interesting, Charles Shields, has expressed concerns about how much the author is involved with the decision to publish Ghost Set a Watchmen. Jessica Crispin, who is the editor of a book publishing journal, is skeptical for reasons that have nothing to do with the legal arrangements. In a New York Times essay titled, Don't Do It, Harper Lee, she warns there is a very good chance that this work, rejected by Ms. Lee's original editor in the 50s, may be substandard. Of course, all of these speculations and concerns have only increased interest in the forthcoming novel. HarperCollins has announced plans to publish 2 million copies of Go Set a Watchman, as we say, on July 14th. The book, ladies and gentlemen, is already number one on the Amazon bestseller list. Amazing story. Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird. Yes, there was another one she wrote after all, and it'll roll off the presses this July. Amazing story. We're going to take a break here. Be back with the Stan Turner Show right after this. You finally found it, that old photograph of your grandmother that you've always wanted to share with your grandchildren, but it's torn, cracked, and faded. Well, don't despair. Bring it in to Images of the Past in Stillwater. They specialize in restoring and preserving memories for future generations. So when you bring your old photos to Images of the Past, you can share that beautiful photograph with your grandchildren. You can see examples at klbbradio.com. Keyword, photo. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past. The Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater has a monthly event for local mystery writers and fans. Held on the first Wednesday of each month, the Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour always includes a lively discussion and a great time. Reservations are required. The cost $10. Held at the Dock Cafe, appetizers are included. Cash bar available. The upcoming March 4th event features Brian Letterman. He'll be discussing his latest book, Downfall. Call 651-430-3385 for reservations. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North, Stillwater. Water.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.
Find out why more people come here to River Valley Ford.
Day or night, year round, RiverValleyFord.com is open for business. Visit us online and see our selection of new and quality pre-owned Ford vehicles. Ask questions, schedule a service appointment, and see our online specials at RiverValleyFord.com. River Valley Ford, just north of I-94 in Baldwin. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and neighbors choose River Valley Ford in Baldwin.
We are back. Stan Turner with you. Thank you for being with us. It's 12:19 right now. It is 28 degrees, heading for near 40 degrees today. That's right. From time to time, we like to dig a little deeper into the backgrounds of pop music performers and groups who play such an important role in our culture and listening enjoyment. Now, in past shows, we've highlighted the lives and music of artists such as the Everly Brothers, Sam Cooke, Roy Orbison, Gene Pitney, Buddy Holly, a long, long list. For a long while, we've been planning a special look at the lives and work of the Drifters. Well, time is really short this afternoon, so only time for an abridged version, very abbreviated, more of a teaser for what we will broadcast on subsequent Saturday. To begin, well, the Drifters, a long-lasting American doo-wop and R&B soul vocal group, originally formed to serve as a backing group for Clyde McFatter of Billy Ward and the Dominoes in 1953. The Drifters are two notable versions, really, of them. The first classic Drifters formed by Clyde McFatter, was inducted into the Vocal Group Hall of Fame as The Drifters, or the original Drifters. The second Drifters, featuring Benny King, was separately inducted into the Vocal Group Hall of Fame as Ben E. King and The Drifters. Yes, that's right. Now, to go on, according to the Vocal Group Hall of Fame, through turmoil and changes, the original Drifters and the Benny King Drifters managed to set musical trends and give the public 13 chart hits, most of which are legendary recordings today, including this one with Benny King out front from 1960.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Oh, I know. Laugh and sing. Yes, I know. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? Never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance,
you can dance.
Go and carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go.
You can dance.
If he asks,
you can dance.
If you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. Cause don't forget he's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. Say the last dance for me.
Number one song for Benny King and the Drifters in 1960. Number one pop, number one R&B, a song written by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann and produced by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, a top of the heap there. Now, in that song, we just heard the narrator's telling his lover she is free to mingle and socialize throughout the evening, but to make sure to save him the dance at the end of the night. Now, this song is likely, we're almost assuredly, based on the personal experience of songwriter Doc Pomus, who had polio and used crutches to get around. His wife, Willie Burke, was a Broadway actress and dancer, and the song gives his perspective of telling his wife to have fun dancing, but reminds her who will be taking her home and in whose arms you're going to be. So that's the story behind the story of the song. True story. Okay, the Drifters. Benny King took off as lead singer for a solo career in 1960, soon after Save the Last Dance for Me charted number one. So in stepped another lead singer for the Drifters by the name of Rudy Lewis, and he came along with a big hit with the Drifters, yes he did, called Up on the Roof. This hit the charts big time in 1963. Up on the Roof, a song written by Jerry Goffin and Carol King, and what a hit it was.
When this whole world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come
dance sweet.
Out on the roof.
I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street.
Out on the roof.
On the roof's the only place I know where you just have to wish to make it so. Let's go up on the roof.
Up on the
dab in the middle of town, I found a paradise that's trouble-proof.
On the
roof. And if this world starts getting you down, there's room in up for two up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
Rudy Lewis out front that time with the Drifters, 1963, big a top five hit for them, Up on the Roof. In addition to the hit appeal of this second Drifters lineup, Up on the Roof epitomized the urban romantic dream as presented by the New York City Brill Building songwriters. Well, another year, another lead singer for the Drifters. This one a big hit for them with Johnny Moore doing the lead vocals. This one you'll remember from 1964, Under the Boardwalk.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof, under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah, on a blanket with my baby's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking about.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be falling in love.
Under the boardwalk, boardwalk.
From the park you hear the happy sound of a carousel. Can almost taste the hot dogs and French fries they sell.
Under the boardwalk.
Johnny Moore that time around with the Drifters from 1964. Well, there's our little mini look at the Drifters. We promise you an expanded version of this, a fantastic vocal group, R&B doo-wop group from the late 1950s and the early 1960s. Certainly worthy of our attention and, you know, finding out a little bit more about them. Just a terrific group. It's 12:30 right now. We are at, 28 degrees in the Twin Cities, heading for about 40. On the other side of the break, we're going to take right here Kathleen Eddie from the Valley Bookseller in Stillwater. We're going to be talking books, books, books. Stay with us.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot leather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
Here's Dr. Rose Perpich from Stillwater Family Dental. What happens during my first appointment?
The first visit as a new patient at Stillwater Family Dental, we have you come in and we always do a full set of x-rays. And like I said, digital x-rays are low radiation, and so we have those available. Then we also do a full set of photographs. So the first appointment, we do a lot of records. We take x-rays, do photos. Sometimes people get their teeth cleaned that day, or if they have other more major concerns, they may come back and we'll have a consultation and go over everything before anything's done.
Stillwater Family Dental. Lives life smiling.
Valley Bookseller is located right on Main Street in Stillwater, just north of the intersection of Myrtle and Main. This wonderfully warm bookstore offers 25% off on weekly bestsellers, as book clubs for all ages, a frequent buyer club to save even more, and a monthly totally criminal cocktail hour. Stop in at 217 Main Street in Stillwater or check out their website, www.valleybookseller.com. Call 651-430-3385. Great books, great people. They've been sitting on that shelf for years. Those special memories of your childhood on slides, videotapes, or 8mm film. You want to share them, but you don't have a way to do it. Now is the time to let images of the past do it for you, and you'll have those special memories to share with the family. Images of the Past can transfer your memories to DVD to be enjoyed anytime by the whole family. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past and at imagesofthepast.com. Here we are back again. Stan Turner with you now, 12:33. Temperature still holding there at 28 degrees. Not a bad day, huh? Considering early February, quite good indeed. Did you see the Star Trib last Sunday? I think it was back in the travel section of it. A very nice piece. Headline, Your Guide to Bookstore Road Tripping. Very nice piece written by Catherine Preuss. And she sampled some towns around the region here and the book stores that they have to offer. Iowa City, Bayfield, Wisconsin, yes, Chicago, and Milwaukee, and Stillwater. And this is what Catherine Preuss had to say about Stillwater. Let's say you're headed along the river for a day trip with a stop for lunch in Stillwater. Head over to Valley Bookseller, a bright storefront on the main street with a back door that looks out over the St. Croix. You'll find current bestsellers, a section of regional interest, popular series for young readers, and some well-chosen toys among the colorful displays there of books. And in the children's section, events ranging from totally criminal cocktail hour to the good old book club and all the rest. Well, as luck would have it, actually not luck, we planned this. Kathleen Eddy, who runs Valley Bookseller, is with me right now in studio. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Stan.
You've been running hard. You've got lots of events growing, don't you? You just came from one.
I just came from the library. Today is Take Your Child to the Library Day.
Lovely.
So it was a wonderful story time with Stephen Shaskin, and he also plays guitar and sings to the kids. It was lots of fun.
That's a nice way to introduce kids to books, isn't it? Just a whole experience of fun. And I think the other day you were over at the Dock Cafe with the Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour.
I was, yes. Another sold-out event every month.
And that's great.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about that event.
Sure.
And it goes on and on. But, so here we are. We want to talk books, and we always like to know what's hot, you know, what's out there right now. What are people buying? And I always like to ask you, fiction outselling nonfiction, or is it the other way around?
I think fiction is outselling right now. Okay. We had a lot of nonfiction titles at the holidays, and especially a lot of regional ones that were good. Larry Millett's new book.
Isn't that a beauty?
Yeah, it's great.
Minnesota's own.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Had him on the show here, as you would guess.
Yes.
A couple of months back, and what a fantastic. Not only, the basic elements of these houses around Minnesota, these are big mansions still existing, some go way, way back, but the photography is beautiful, and Larry's background and his storytelling ability comes through, doesn't it? He mm-hmm. tells you a lot about sometimes little gossip mm-hmm. about people who lived in these places yes. a long time ago.
Little tidbits.
Yep. He's up for an award, too. But you go ahead and tell us what else is going on.
Well, Girl on the Train right now is number one in the New York Times, I believe, starting tomorrow. I haven't read it yet, but a couple people at the store have. It's a great mystery thriller. They're comparing it to the popularity and the flying off the shelf as Gone Girl was.
Last year,
yes.
The title again is what?
Girl on the Train.
Girl on the Train, a hot seller right now. Okay.
So, we just continue to sell lots of middle grade and young adult books. The children's books are good sellers in our store. Red, Michael Hall's new book, just came out this week. Very popular. It's about a crayon that's misunderstood.
About a what?
A crayon.
A crayon that's misunderstood. Kyle, how many crayons have you known who are misunderstood? Aren't most of them?
Yeah, possibly.
Color me confused.
Okay. Yeah, this is his fourth book, and, his books are just delightful. And we'll be actually with him. We need to set an event for him to come to the store. He'll probably do another Storytime Trolley this summer, but we'll be. He's one of the featured authors at the Mounds Park Academy Book Festival, which is starts on the 17th of February. So we'll be there on Friday the 20th with him.
A crayon was misunderstood.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Anything is possible and likely these days.
That's right.
Why not? That's fun.
Right.
Okay, Kathleen Eddy, tell us more. What's going on?
Well, I want to be sure people know that our construction project is done and the Daily Grind Coffee Shop is open in the back third of the store.
We're talking Valley Bookseller, your shop, Main Street here in downtown Stillwater, been reconfigured. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Yes, it has. And, the Daily Grind is right back there, so you walk in the door in the morning, and they're already open. And
aroma of coffee and baked
coffee
goods
and
all that
goods,
stuff.
Chocolate chip cookies and scones.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So Megan and Tim are busy back there and really bustling on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there this morning, it's like they are in full gear, full bore going at
it.
And I have to catch up with them real quick.
I can't think of a better combination of books, reading, and coffee and goodies to eat. And come spring and summer, they are situated at the rear of your store, which means what?
Well, they'll have to share the deck with everybody, but I'm sure that it's going to be a wonderful addition for them because they didn't have that feature at their old location.
That's right.
So it'll be great.
The view is what? It's with the fellows who don't know.
The St. Croix River is right out our back door, and it's fabulous.
It is.
And the new pedestrian plaza is done, and, there's all kinds of fun events downtown.
Oh, that's great.
I think we're all looking forward to, even though it's been an easy winter, we're all looking forward to spring and summer.
Do you still have the bird cage in there, or did that have to go?
No, we had to. The birds had to go to another home.
They flew the coop.
They did.
Okay, all right, that's right.
But they're safe and warm in, I think it's Dawson, Minnesota.
Are they really? Okay, they really did take a flight, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, it's a lovely bookshop. Before we move on to more titles, I must tell you, the ladies whom you have there working, they're more than wonderful clerks. These are book people. How did they come by their detailed, in-depth knowledge of books? It's amazing what these ladies know.
Yeah, I mean, we're all avid readers, of course, and we get the books, advanced copies from the publisher, so we try to read ahead, and we can recommend and hand-sell books, that we know are going to be, that our reps and the publishers are really looking forward to and are going to be touting and advertising a lot.
And people come in with questions about books or authors and maybe just with scant information. And your folks, they have the resources, the know-how to find out.
We do. And what would we do without Google? Because sometimes they come in and it's like it had an X on the cover and it was red. And they might know a little bit about it, but we can solve the mysteries and put the book in their hand.
Yep. Your very own mystery solving right there.
That's
in the
right.
Stars, not between the covers. Okay, go ahead and tell us more, please.
I want to be sure that people know that our indie bookstore is celebrating 25 years in business this year.
Wow.
So we are looking forward to lots of fun in the spring and summer and the rest of the year as we celebrate this anniversary. So stay tuned for, you know, specials. We'll have it on our website. Mm-hmm. There'll be, you know, all kinds of special events. And also National Independent Bookstore Day is May. Okay, now I forgot the date.
That's okay. You'll find
it. It's like the first Saturday in May.
May 2nd. May 2nd. You got
yes.
it. Okay.
And so
you are resourceful. You found it right away.
That's a fun event that started in California. Now they're making it nationwide. Yeah. So we've ordered special things just for that they made available just for that day, like you know, posters and prints and onesies that have "I love to read" on the little onesies, yeah. and you know, yeah. all kinds of fun things that we'll be carrying in the store. And I think we'll carry that on and bring in some fun and wonderful things, and also maybe go back and see what was popular 25 years ago in those stores.
That's a marvelous idea.
Yeah,
that
I
is
think
fantastic.
We're going to do some research and see, like, what were the top 10 books, you know.
We do that on our music show here. We
yes.
go back the
maybe
decades
you can
and
help
see
me
what
do the research.
Yeah, it's we learn so much. You do too. Mm-hmm. You know, not just our customers, our consumers. We all learn. It's fun, fun. What else we should know about Valley Bookseller? What's going on?
Oh gosh.
Well, last summer you had a trolley ride, didn't you? Associated
yes.
with books. Tell us about that. That was fun.
We partnered with the Stillwater Trolley Company, and we'll be doing it again this spring. Joni and I are working on it. Dick Zimmerman, Joni Zimmerman are the owners, and
yep.
It was such a fun.
How does it work?
And great. Well, the kids. It's a $5 reservation per seat. So if the child sits on your lap, you just have to buy one ticket. But
Kyle, I can sit on your lap and go for $5. Okay.
Now you're too old, Sam.
Oh, come on. Okay, go ahead.
We have, so anyway, I think depending on the size of the trolley, you know, but it has been selling out. It's like 25 maybe seats, I think, maybe 35 on one of the trolleys. But we have a storyteller that comes. Sometimes they're authors. Sometimes they're just, you know, like, you know, you could be a. You
I'd
could
love
come
to.
And be. Really? That
so,
would be
I'd
awesome.
Love to. So the trolley with everybody on board, the
yep.
kids especially, is going
and
around Stillwater, and they're being read to.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
the
marvelous.
The storyteller sits at the front of this, you yeah. know, and tells stories. And sometimes they do games. The author that was at, Stephen Shaskin, that was at the mm-hmm. library this morning, plays guitar and sings with the kids. So I think he's going to do one for us.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I'm so glad that's coming back.
It was very popular. And then they come back to the store for a treat, and, you know, of course, we want them to shop the book department.
Sounds pretty good, Kyle, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah.
Not a bad way to spend an afternoon, right?
A Saturday morning.
Yeah,
yep.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
that's
Saturday
okay.
morning only. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll still be the same,
good.
Same time
okay.
frame.
It's fine. Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour.
Yes.
This has been ongoing for some time, sponsored by your bookstore, mm-hmm. Valley Bookseller. You hold the event right here in Stillwater
yes.
at the Dock Cafe, speaking about being on the water on the St. Croix
yeah.
River. You're right there. What is this all about? How does it unfold? And tell us about it.
We bring in a mystery author every month. Sometimes it's their regional. I mean, kind of, I guess it is Minnesota, usually metro area, but we bring in, there's authors that are in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Libby Fisher-Hellman comes from Chicago for
right.
It's very popular. We sell out almost every month, so people need to call us and make their reservation early.
This is kind of like a once upon a crime sort
mm-hmm.
of deal. These are all crime mystery books and authors.
Yep, they talk about their books. There's plenty of time for questions and answers. The Dock Cafe has wonderful hors d'oeuvres,
yeah.
a cash bar. It's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
When does this happen? What time?
First Wednesday of every month
okay.
at 4:30.
Okay.
And with an exception, in April, we're going to do two of them because Vidar Sundstøl, the Norwegian author, is on
yes.
tour. And with the third book being released, we've got him coming on the 22nd of April.
A Norwegian crime author.
Yes.
Hmm? Can you tell us a little bit about?
Well, he has some ties to Minnesota. I believe it's his wife that's from Minnesota. So
anybody from Norway must have ties to Minnesota.
Yes. And it's, you know, his first book was The Land of Dreams.
Okay.
Which I really enjoyed. It's set up in the Duluth area.
Mm-hmm.
So all the books are based in that part of Minnesota.
Okay, right. What's his name again, Kathleen?
Vidar Sundstøl.
Vidar Sundstøl. Okay.
Yes.
Boy, there's a good Norsky name, huh?
Yes,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know that event, it was very popular when he was here 2 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
and it will be again.
Okay, good.
Ryan Letterman from the Shoreview area will be our author on the first Wednesday in March. March.
Mm-hmm.
And April is Alan Eskins, with Life We Bury, and it's his book is up for a Minnesota Book Award, and I believe he's been nominated for an Edgar as well.
Okay. So, The Life We Bury.
Wow. It's very good.
What's it about? Just give us a little synopsis or just a summary. You have so many on your mind.
I do.
That's unfair.
I get them all mixed up. I read it a few months ago.
Okay. You only read 500 books a month.
But yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
I'm happy for him, especially as a debut novel.
It's an intriguing title, isn't it?
Yes.
The Life We Bury, the stuff we try to squirrel away and keep out of sight.
Yes.
Okay, good, good. Kathleen Eddy, what else do we want to talk about here today?
Well,
I noticed our friend Marianne Grossman had a piece in the Pioneer Press the other day about spring books on the way, and I'm sure you've got these in the store or
I
can
do.
Easily
get them. I see that Blues Vision right there. This is celebrating African American History Month, so that's a great book. We've got it in this title called Blues Vision. I forget who's the author. Mm. I think it's a compilation.
Okay.
It's kind of an anthology, so
right.
It's different.
Okay.
Different authors.
All right. You mentioned Larry Millett. He straddles the worlds of fiction and nonfiction. We mentioned his nonfiction, his latest nonfiction offering called Minnesota's Own, about a dozen beautiful mansions around the state of Minnesota, the backstories to who built them, who occupied them, and how they stand so beautifully today. It takes a lot of money to keep those things going, but I'm glad they're there. So Larry's up for a book award there, isn't he?
He is, as well.
Minnesota's Own. Plus, he's also up for a fiction work called Strongwood, a crime dossier. I've read both these books by Larry.
Strongwood's part of his...
Have you had a chance to read Strongwood?
I have not.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yes.
This is marvelous. He calls it a dossier. You're looking as if it's a real transcript of a criminal trial in Minneapolis, early part of the 20th century, and it's a great whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover art of the Strongwood Woman is done by Larry's wife. She's a great artist. But
I think that
dust covers sell books, don't they? If you have an intriguing cover,
I'm always
it helps.
Attracted by
I am
that.
Too.
Yes,
I am
very
too.
Much so.
And I think this one is really working for him too. But once you crack open the book, it's a great read. Anything else?
Well, I love his Sherlock Holmes series that he sets in Minnesota. So, yeah, he's a very well-rounded author.
Larry is a great fan.
Another great piece of news, too, is Chuck Logan is up for genre fiction.
Mm-hmm.
He's a finalist for a Minnesota Book Award as well.
Right
here in Stillwater, of course.
Right.
Very popular.
Yes.
He did a Totally Criminal with this not too many, maybe February.
He's got a wicked sense of humor.
No, it was January.
Chuck has a great sense of humor, too.
Yes.
He's fun to be around, isn't
he? Yeah, it was a great event.
Great, great writer, too. All right, you're looking at some catalogs here from the University of Minnesota Press and Minnesota Historical Society Press. They are out with their 2015 book catalogs here. Mm-hmm. Not all of these books are currently available, but they will be throughout the year.
They will.
And which ones are catching your attention, and which ones are we likely to see at the Valley Bookseller on the shelves?
Well, I think this one, I'm meeting with Matt on Monday, and we know how this ends. It's Living While Dying, Embracing Illness, Loss, and Death for a Full and Meaningful Life. Mm-hmm. And it's by Bruce Kramer, and Kathy Werzer is also contributing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely interested in that one.
We Know How This Ends. That's the title of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then The Ravens is featured. Vidar's book is the third in the final book in the trilogy is featured, and that's... I'm looking forward to seeing him again. And again, that's been an award-winning series.
You say his books are set up in the Duluth Superior area,
yes.
North Shore?
Yes,
okay.
They are.
Good.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You're paging through the U of M catalog here for this year.
Mm-hmm. And we've already met with, this one, The North Shore, The Natural History of Minnesota's Superior Coast.
Hmm.
Great photography, and I'm really looking forward to this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping we could get the author, maybe.
Be good.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at some of the sample photographs from these books, just absolutely enough to make you run over to the shop right now.
Yeah.
Marvelous. Kathleen, when people come in and say you've sold out of a certain title, oh, we just sold the last one, you can get pretty quickly in pretty quick order, can't you?
Yeah, sometimes the next day.
We
have one of our distributors that we can do next day, but it's always just a couple of days typically.
Okay.
If it's a secondary distributor possibly a week, but yeah.
We book lovers are impatient, aren't we?
I know.
We need. What else do you have in front of you there?
Well, I did meet with the Minnesota Historical Society Press, and there's lots of great ones in here. We already talked about the Blues Vision title. There's one called, a children's book called Hungry Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
that's, you know, talks about how coyotes are trying to survive in our urban world. Homemade with Honey is another one they're doing. They did one about squash and about rhubarb, you know, a few years ago. So, and then there's one too that's in the store now called The Crops Look Good. It's from a news from a Midwestern family farm. Mm. So I think a lot of us have roots in that area. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up in a very small town in Iowa. So that kind of background, even for a city girl like me, it's kind of resonates.
You're a city slicker now, Kathleen.
I am. And the Minnesota Weather Almanac has been...
Mark Seeley.
That's coming up.
This is an update of a book that Mark put out, about 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I've had him on the show many times. You hear him on radio and TV quite a bit. I'm a big fan of Mark Seeley. He is a terrific guy. He's a climatologist and a meteorologist, and he knows his stuff, and he has a special gift for talking about the weather in ways we can really understand the weather phenomena, you know, that inflicts itself upon us.
Let's get him on your show, and then he can come over to the shop and sign some
books. We often do that, where we schedule the same day where they can be on the show here, either, you know, into your shop before or after the radio show here. So we're having Mark Seeley come back. You know, I got to tell you a quick anecdote about Mark Seeley and his very first book on the Minnesota Weather Almanac. There's a fantastic photograph. When I saw I knew I had to go down to the Historical Society and buy my own copy of that photograph. It's taken about 1890, and it shows a humongous tornado funnel that seems to be bearing down on St. Paul from the north. It takes your breath away to see it. This is a mammoth tornado. So he put it in his book, of course. Turns out it's a fake.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Somebody faked it way back when. And it was done so well, you'd swear it's real. So Mark and I talked about it. He said, in the subsequent editions of the book, it was taken out. But I still like to have a photo of it. One of the best photographic fakes I've ever seen. But his book is nothing fake about it. It is all genuine, good information. You talk about useful information, news you can use about the weather. He almost takes it season by season here. Somebody once said that we live in a climate that tries to kill us. Well, sometimes it seems that way. But we are wise to keep apprised of the weather around these parts.
Yes.
There's no better one-volume source, I think, for that than Mark Seeley. So when does that due out, Kathleen? Is it this spring, maybe? I hope. It's fairly soon, I think.
It is. Yeah. I think it's out in April.
Okay. We'll have Mark on the show, and maybe we'll schedule it so he can be over at your shop and
sounds great.
Visit with the folks and sign copies, huh?
Yes.
What else here?
I wanted to mention book clubs, too, just to remind people that if they're in a book club, if you register with us, we order books for you, and you save 15% on your book club title. This week, it's tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the Classics Book Club, and, you know, I'm not prepared. I don't remember what they're reading, and Delsey's going to kill me for that. But they're meeting at the Daily Grind tomorrow, so they have a table reserved,
at
2 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And the Thursday Night Book Club, they meet the third Thursday of the month, and they're going to be meeting and the Daily Grind as well at 6:30 on a Thursday night.
Once again, folks, Daily Grind is the name of the coffee shop that's within your Valley Bookseller shop, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's all under one roof.
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. How many book clubs are there around here?
You know, we probably have, I think, close to 20 that are registered with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So kind of in all the towns around us, you know.
How about history book clubs? Are there such things as that? Do you have that?
There's one.
If not, I'm going to found one.
I think you should.
I really think
you should. Yeah. There's a lot of the clubs do read nonfiction,
mm-hmm.
And some history titles, mm-hmm. too. But typically, the majority are reading biographies and fiction.
Oh, great. Yeah. Good. So, that's wonderful. So,
We have a great kids' book club, too.
A what? Kids?
The middle grade book club. They call themselves the Deep Blue Readers. They meet in the shop the fourth Sunday of the month.
Give me the titles again. What do they call themselves?
The Deep Blue Readers.
Okay.
Yeah. They're diving for books the time.
That's wonderful. The kids seem to be drawn. Oh, what about e-books versus real books these days? Are kids going straight for the e-books, or do they like to hold a real book in their hand?
I think that's a little bit of both. My grandkids love their electronics, but they still would rather have a book in their hand when they're reading.
Kyle, when's the last time you picked up a book? Do you read, e-read, or what do you do?
I've gotten into the e-reading just because, you know, I don't have to carry around a book.
Yes, that's a great advantage to it.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And you can order, you can order Kobo e-books off of our website.
Ah, thank you.
Keep that in mind, too, if you have a device.
Okay, good, good, good. A device, as we call it. I have a device at home called books.
It could be an iPad or
I'm old school. I like books.
I know, me too. I have stacks everywhere.
I do, too. They're our friends, aren't they? They keep giving back. Please go ahead. You've got a whole list of things we need to get out today.
Well, I think I've covered a lot of it. I'm really looking forward and actually would love some ideas from our customers about how we should celebrate our 25th anniversary.
I love that.
I've gotten a few ideas from other bookstores that have done something similar, but I think it would be fun to hear from our customers how they'd like us to mark the occasion. I'm still trying to pin down the exact date that Sylvia Grubb was the first owner.
Oh, she. Okay.
And then Jossie Tilson and Jim Borman, and now Molly Rice and Dan Preby. So it's Sylvia could not remember exactly when they opened, but I'm hoping to find that out just so we can actually mark the day this summer.
And so quarter century. What is the Valley bookseller today, right?
And we're doing really well. I mean, we had another great year, 2014, and, you know, it's very encouraging in this world of Amazon and that the brick-and-mortar stores are hanging in there.
They are.
And actually more popular than ever, I think.
That's amazing. I just looked at a piece here that seems counterintuitive a little bit, but it's not. A story by the New York Times from New York City. A couple, a husband and wife, are ending or have now ended a three-decade journey in travel book sales in Manhattan. Wonderful. Not for the reasons of economics. They just got tired. I mean, they want a little time to themselves, they're deeply in love with books. In recent years, it's pointed out that independent stalwarts, including in New York, Coliseum Books, Shakespeare and Company, Upper West Side, Endicott Booksellers, Murder, Inc., I-N-K, have all closed. This is New York. Of course, there must be hundreds, thousands. Barnes & Nobles, at least five, have gone down since 2007 in New York. So you hear all these horror stories, but I keep hearing, as you just said, that independents like yours, these are not the big box stores, these are standalone, privately owned, are doing well. There's been a comeback. They were hurting for a while. Everybody was in the recession. But now things are on the upswing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really encouraging. We have a great loyal following here. And, you know, I had somebody call from Wayzata this morning.
Really?
And wanted me to order a book and ship it to him.
That's marvelous.
So, I mean, we get calls from all over. Mm-hmm. And the website, we take a lot of website orders for either people are having it shipped to them or they're picking it up. Making arrangements to pick it up at the store.
Kathleen Eddy, you're never one to knock, and you don't knock the big box bookstores. But what can you, as an indie, an independent bookseller, do at Valley Bookseller that maybe the big guys can't do?
I really think it's customer service. It's like, you know, we're acknowledging people when they walk through the door, and we're right there. You know, we recognize you. We might say, you know, how's your child doing? What, you know, how's the reading going? Yeah. And they come in specifically because we do such a good job recommending.
Yeah, you do. What's the events coming up here? Can you just go over some of the?
I have a couple. Actually, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to be at the library with Rachel Coyne.
Stillwater Public Library.
Yes, up in the Margaret Rivers room.
Carnegie Hall, or Carnegie Library,
is.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I almost said Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. A beautiful location we have here. So Rachel Coyne's second book will be releasing, we're helping her launch that. And Thursday night, we're at Club Book, also at the library, in the Margaret Rivers room with Peter Heller. Mm-hmm. And week after, we're going to be partnering with Mounts Park Academy to do a book festival. We're always partnering with schools on different events, and we actually take a bookstore to their school, and we have a great time, and there's three different authors coming.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
You really are getting out in the community.
Yes, we are. We love the partnerships with different organizations.
It's all about friends and neighbors, isn't it? It's just here here we just sit in our brick-and-mortar building and come to us. You're going out there, too, and making friends and making customers one and the same, actually,
yes,
aren't they?
That's wonderful. Exactly.
Kathleen Eddy, thank you. Greet the ladies over at your shop. You're all wonderful. We just love it. My favorite bookseller. And thank you very much for your support here. Your sponsorship of the program.
Of course.
Appreciate it very much. You are wonderful. Now,
thank
get on
you,
your way.
Sam.
You've probably got another event to go to right now.
Thank
you. The world's busiest book lady right here. Kathleen Eddy, proprietor of Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. The place to go. Check them out. You'll love it. And come spring, summer, you can sit on the back there and have your coffee and read the book you just bought. We'll be back with the All Request Dedication program Monday, right after the news at noon. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.